Hello and welcome to this very special episode of the Blue Toon podcast, sponsored by Marco's Chipper. Earlier this week, Peterhead Football Club Chairman Roger Morrison gave us time out of his very busy schedule to discuss how the pandemic has affected the club.
Okay, Peterhead Chairman Roger Morrison, thanks very much for coming on.
You're welcome.
How are things for you and your family been since the lockdown?
Me personally, fine, and thanks very much indeed. Family as well. No, my mother-in-law unfortunately died with a couple of weeks ago in a home. It wasn't a COVID, like, she was a fair age, 90. But other than that, no, everyone fine, thank you. What about yourselves? I've been fine with you, Ian.
I've just been fine with us, yeah. No issues, no problems at all. Everybody's fit and healthy.
Good.
Yeah, same, absolutely, yeah, family as well. Please accept our commiserations on the loss there.
Many thanks indeed. Moving on to the club, obviously it's been a fraught time. I've never been so busy really in the football. I'm not going to say I'm fed up with these Zoom meetings because I'm on one. I suppose it's maybe the way forward. But for obvious reasons, yes, no income whatsoever. Still expenditure going out. So trying times all round, but fighting hard behind the scenes. Confident that we'll still be here for football starting in the beginning of October. That's not official yet, but it's looking as though everyone's agreeing to October. Simply for the reason, if you didn't agree to October, whether it's closed doors or not, I think you could have found ourselves being demoted or maybe making up another division or whatever. So I think we've all came to the same conclusions, and one and two will just join at the same time as the championship. Obviously, don't quote me, I can't remember the date in October. I think it's the 17th or the 27th for the league, but obviously we'll be kicking off with the Betfred for a start. And hopefully by that time, maybe socially distancing will be slightly less of what it is just now. Testing would be so strenuous. Still don't know why football clubs are being so treated so draconianly on the testing when you find that care homes aren't, or frontline staff, nurses, still playing catch-up. So I don't know what it is with young guys playing football. It's why we've got to go to this great length of getting tested. But hey-ho, we've got to abide by the rules. But as I said, maybe with an October start, some of these costs might have diluted by that time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take it back to the beginning then, the 13th of March, Friday the 13th of March, as it was. Football in Scotland was suspended at all levels. Did you know that that was coming? Was that a decision you felt was coming, or did you think that the timing maybe would have been better later on, or say after those weekend fixtures had been played?
Yeah, obviously at the time, yes. It's kind of forgotten about now, and the mayhem has went on since. Yeah, I thought we could have maybe played out another week or so, but hey, well, we don't make the decisions, so we'd abide by them. Yeah, obviously a bit of a shock. But in the bigger picture of life, football only plays a small part in so many other people's lives. We maybe tend to get caught up in it because we're football people and football supporters, but there is a whole other life going on there, so you sometimes got to be careful. You're not always just, although it maybe seems to be that I'm never out of the press or quoting on football, that's just the nature of the game. But as I said, there is a whole other world going on out there, so we've got to be careful that football isn't the most important thing for a lot of people.
Did you have any indication on Friday 13th or any days prior to that football would be stopped that afternoon?
None whatsoever.
Completely came out of the blue.
Out of the blue, yes.
And I guess at that kind of time, did you think that maybe there was a possibility that football would have been played again, or the season would have been finished at some kind of capacity?
Initially, but then obviously as the pandemic set in, no, I took the view that obviously the way things were, it would be much later, if at all. obviously, I think there was options being put forward within the SPFL hierarchy, that there was even a case of being mothballed for a whole season, which obviously I and various other clubs fought against, because to close down a club for a whole season would just be, how do you start again? Probably lose X amount of fans, what have you, sponsorship. So I always took the view that if just given time, obviously we couldn't have went for the 1st of August, because playing behind closed doors just isn't an option, especially for the lower divisions. So although I think we've kind of decided it October is going to be the date, who knows, maybe it could have been September if you had a crystal ball. But I'm happy enough with October. Obviously, a reduced league, and it will be filling in a lot of games. At least there will be football to look forward to.
And after the obviously the suspension, then there was the vote for ending the season. The Championship, League One, and League Two was ended, but the Premier League obviously wasn't. Was that a decision that you agreed with? Do you think it maybe the Premier League should have ended at the same time?
Well, obviously the Premier Division is a totally different entity, because I'm sure as the executive of SPFL we're quite aware of, the Sky money, particularly BT money as well, and all of their sponsorship is really tied into the Premier Division. So I knew that it was a real, how would you say it, a real, well, they were hanging on to a chance it maybe could have. And of course, as you have seen now, Premiership in England is starting, is already started. But there again, totally different analogy. We can't class ourselves as competing with England as far as football's concerned. And as it's well known in the Premier Division in Scotland, even I think there was a vote, well, no, there was a survey in the whole of Europe, Celtic and Rangers would be the worst affected starting closed door games, because they are just so totally reliant on ticket sales compared to the rest of Europe. So, it didn't really surprise me. It kind of held on for that. But I think I knew myself with behind-the-scenes talks at Sky were quite willing to forego that and really start again, just forget about this season and start again.
And for you, was the end of the season the correct decision?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
How's the communication been between the clubs and the SPFL? They've been forthcoming with information and keeping you updated, or have you been kept in the dark a little bit at times?
No, fully kept up to date. I know you can read all this, what goes on in the press, and as you can see, the SPFL, Doncaster, the board being slaughtered, but it's very, very difficult. The SPFL is run by 40 clubs and everyone is in a vote. This is just my personal view, and I've thought it for a long time. It's almost impossible then to get unanimity with everyone and get decisions passed for the good of the game. I'll come on to obviously the last vote. I would prefer, really, if you had a chief executive and a board made up of professional people without any members coming from clubs. Obviously, you get your feedback. I just think it would be a better work. It would work better for better decisions being made for the good of the game as a whole, rather than, as you can see with league reconstruction, just a bit of a nightmare. We always stuck to, I think Peterhead, came away, especially Jim, with a plan in the first instance of 14-10-10-10. That really didn't get a lot of consideration, but then eventually came back around to it. And yeah, quite damning then about how the vote went, because I don't know if you'd listened to Mr. Deans from Falkirk and Off the Ball on Saturday, who had the same views as me. In all my chats to fellow chairmen, they all seem to be quite keen on it, and then at the last minute, for whatever reasons, and I think there's a lot of petty jealousies and whatever, voted against. But to me, that was the fairest way, really. Nobody losers. You're getting Kelty and Brewera taken into the league, but hey-ho, it didn't work, so we are where we are.
You have sympathy for the likes of Sunar and Partick Thistle?
I do have real sympathy for Partick. That's the one that I really have the most sympathy with. So, fortunately, 14-10-10-10, there wouldn't have been any losers. I don't know how their case is going to go, but it's just detracting again from the bigger picture of most clubs working hard to salvage their clubs and move forward, because that is going to be the most important thing.
You mentioned from the outside, we, Colonised folk, in numerous times, we can't see any negativity with the 14-10-10-10. Is there any reason that you think there's a reason why it hasn't gone through?
I'm afraid just a lot of petty jealousies. Goes back many, many years. And for once, I just thought maybe we could all just look at the bigger picture. But I'm afraid that just is. Sorry, it's back to this. Every club having a vote in an instance like this, it just doesn't work.
You think it's an opportunity miss for reconstruction?
I know there wasn't a big clamour for league reconstruction prior to the pandemic, but I think league reconstruction would have solved a lot of ills at this moment in time. Now, whether they made it even for a season, at least there was no losers, and to me that was the most important thing. Because you've now got, say, Hearts coming down to the Championship, Partick coming down to League One. They are fairly big clubs compared to the average club. Here's them now going to be losing income until October with full-time setups. It's damning, really. It really is. And as I've always said, there's a far greater chance of the smaller clubs, i.e. 1 and 2, getting through this than moving up to Championship and Premier Division, because it's them that's really carrying the huge costs. You find at our level, it's a lot of community clubs were right into the community, a lot of support. Yes, you've got to duck and dive and you've got to work hard to raise the money, but I still feel, I don't think there will be any clubs in 1 and 2 going to the wall. I think we'll all get through that.
Good. How surprised or shocked were you when you heard that there was a 14-14-14 was put on the table?
Well, obviously, we were against it simply because Anne Budge had said that she thought there should be no losers in this game. So all of a sudden, she wasn't going to be a loser, but Clyde, Forfar and Peterhead were going to be a loser. But that was quite all right. We were further down the divisions. But even in that one, it wasn't taking in Brora and Kelty. No, back to Jim and Peter Headboard's proposal, 14-10-10-10 should have been a fix for everyone.
And I guess as well, if you sort of say it there, do you think that sort of League One, League Two teams, or in particular Peterhead, are kind of forgotten about? We see Jim making these sort of comments in the local press and things like that. He makes very good points, but it just sort of seems to go in deaf ears.
Yes and no, but you've got to be a realist as well. We are a small club. I think a well-run, good club. We've got a very good reputation within the leagues ever since we come in, and how well-run it is. And I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet here. On the whole, I've never felt really, if you're speaking about the executive of the SPFL, I know, I think we get a fair crack of the whip. But obviously, Premier Division and Championship clubs have really got to be thought more of, because they're much bigger budgets, carry much bigger support. But you're back to the argument, should there be 42 clubs all in the one league set up? Well, of course, we were in before and everyone voted to go into it. And would you want to go back out of it again? I certainly wouldn't. Because I think on the whole, it works well. And you can read all what the pundits say in Daily Records or whatever and damning about the league executive. They have a very, very hard job to do keeping 42 clubs happy.
You've got 42 clubs, but you've got 42 clubs who will obviously have their own self-interest at heart, really, don't you?
Well, we always do, but I think on this last one in league reconstruction, I did think it there could be more more people with their heads above the parapet and really thought about the well-being of the whole 42 clubs.
So as it stands then, there's been no football being played at Balgor since the 25th of February, I think it was. It's a long time not to have any sort of income coming in. Just how bad has it been for the club?
Football, even at our level, is always tough. If you're ambitious, you're always pushing the boat out. You always want the best team. So even on the good days, although we work hard, got a good fan base, got a good hospitality sector. As I said, one of the best in Scottish football for the size of the club. Almost full to capacity every Saturday. It's always hard. But when this come along and you've got just no income whatsoever, obviously furlough has been great. That was a great idea, set up quickly by the government. I don't know where you would want to have been without it. Well, you just wouldn't have had players. It would have been a case of redundancy. But yes, we've still got bills to pay. We did set up, we have a very successful 50-50 on a Saturday and came away with the idea, myself and the board, on a larger one, as it works well. Would have to do it online simply because of the situation. And as of today, it's over 30,000 in the pot, so draw on Saturday. A plug here, guys, you've got till 12 midnight, anybody listening out there, to get your tickets, because there is going to be a big money won on Saturday. But just so grateful to everyone who's participated. Families bought a £50 ticket between them. Some have bought a lot of tickets, but just a big, big thank you, because it is a lifesaver for us. Along with our patrons have stuck in by us as well. They've been great. No casualties there. Might be different going forward. We don't know the economic climate. But Mr. Anderson obviously came in with his £50,000 as well towards closed-door games if need be. Working hard behind the scenes. We'll be here for the beginning of October, that's for sure.
You mentioned the 50-50. Does that just kind of show you how well-liked the club is within the community?
I think so, because we do a lot within the community. We do give our the Balboa away for lots of needy causes. Obviously, there's a percentage of this 50-50 coming to the directors' pockets as well to go to our chosen charity clan. So I think like any community club, you've really got to be out there helping so many other people rather than just football. Like Natty Porter, our youth and community coach, there's hardly a day goes past that there isn't something in the club for Alzheimer's or Keep Fit, the Silver Line, the lonely people. So sometimes then when you come to a situation like this, it's greatly appreciated, the support that they give you back.
And obviously you wouldn't be there for them in the long term as well.
Sorry?
You wouldn't be there for them in the long term as well.
The football club is, as I always think, is just a hub for the local community. I can always remember, because obviously I've been too long in the Red Football Club, 30-odd years, but I can remember when Bells were our main sponsor of the league. and they had been bought by Diageo, the huge drinks company. So they kept on Lord and Lady McFarlane, who used to own Bell's, as ambassadors. And they used to visit every club in Scotland, Fortitude, twice a year. Lovely couple. And I can always remember this words from him. Now he's here, Roger. If you ever, ever get a bit down, or you think it's time that you gave up and it's not all too much work, just remember, it's football clubs are more important to local communities and put their local communities on the map more than any MPs, councillors, you name it. It just is the focal point. And I found it, especially since we came into the league proper, no matter where I went in the world, you can switch on Sky TV and Peterhead's coming up with the results. You invariably heard Rory McAllister on Saturday night being mentioned. The betting fraternity now, Peterhead is really mentioned all over the world. And who would have thought that? And it just is through football. So along with everyone that supports us, which is greatly appreciated, it does really put Peterhead on the map.
And you mentioned the potentially starting in the middle of October, 17th of October. How quick can Jim get his squad sort of together and ready in time for the season starting?
No, I've got a meeting with Jim this Saturday, although we're in regular touch all the time. I can't see that being a problem. Obviously, the downside of this pandemic is there is going to be a lot of players looking for jobs. We've got to core who we want anyway. We're pretty confident of getting the team we want to kick off in October.
And has it been difficult? Has it been difficult to plan for next season? The fact that also we're thinking now it could be October, but it's not really set in stone. Has it been difficult to plan for recruitment and that side of things?
Well, it's just difficult planning for anything right now. Because just for instance, although we are saying the beginning of October to get going, if there's another spike, where does that put us? So many different factors at this moment in time that you can't really plan. But we're all in the same boat, really. So everything's in abeyance, really. You can discuss, but you can't really make concrete plans. Because even the plans that you do make right now could all be changed by next week. So, yeah, it's almost like being in hibernation, really. Mm-hmm.
And when do you sort of anticipate that you can start speaking to players about contracts or offering them contracts?
I think that is going to be just coming very shortly. As I said, furlough has been great. It is changing. But if you really want to plan then for back to training in September, October, decisions, I think, for most clubs will be being made in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
And obviously the staff at the club, bar staff, your coffee shop, etc. How quickly do you think you can get that back open again?
That side doesn't give me the same problem, really. Still got all the staff. We've got about, in total, Peterhead employs about 130 people. I know you might find that hard, but it is a busy club. My problem will be there are probably, once restaurants are beginning to be opened, allowed to be opened on the 15th, I think there will be a clamour, for instance, for our coffee shop and bar to be opened. But the downside for me is there's no football, which both coffee shop and bar go hand in hand. So, and it's a huge building just to open for that, but I think we probably will come the 15th. But the only way it Balmore takes is with football. So I think even if we do open, I just don't know how busy it would be. Bit of a gamble, really.
And probably your club shop as well, has that been sort of busy online as well? Have you gotten a lot of online orders?
I wouldn't say we've been really busy, although we haven't really been pushing it, because I didn't believe in forward selling strips and season tickets or anything like some other clubs. I really wanted a date. If we know a date, and it should be official within the next week or two, then I can start the ball rolling in all these different factors. And you can get the staff back, to get fully staffed up and be active in whatever we are going to be selling.
You mentioned the season tickets there as well. See, some of the clubs have been offering refunds or something like that. Have you had anybody come back to you and asking for any refunds, or do you anticipate any refunds in the future?
There hasn't been one person, but obviously when we sit down to come up with the prices, what have you, yeah, that's high on our thoughts. What are we going to be doing? Lost out in games last season, shorter season this time. So, yeah, we'll be coming up with a plan. Hopefully it suits everyone's pocket and they are recompensed if they feel they've lost out.
And I guess you might have to kind of go with the fact that you'll have more away games than home games this season as well.
Yeah, there is that factor as well, which obviously always leads to higher costs. Yeah, we've survived. Been a long time here, as I said, and we'll come through this, I'm sure, and we'll get sorted for a new season.
Well, we'll hope it's only for one season, I guess, sir. Sure.
Well, he is hoping, but of course that's out of our hands. Reiterate on football, we fans maybe might think it's the most important thing in the world. But out there has been a lot of deaths, a lot of people are very ill, a lot of lonely people with this, certainly loneliness. And yes, which leads to all sorts of other illnesses, which are not being treated at this moment in time. So I think we can't forget it, although I think Peterhead Football Club is a be-all and end-all. It's not. Not in the bigger picture. You do have to put it into perspective.
And I guess come 17th of October, it'll all be out and we'll be ready to go for a new season and hopefully maybe a better season than the season just finished, maybe.
Yeah, it was disappointing last year. I think we played a lot of good football. It's as good a team as I've seen, but results-wise, no, it was a poor season. So, yes, it better be better the next time round.
No pressure.
Because we'll have some cracking local derbies with Cove.
Yes, we will.
Yes.
Yeah, we're looking forward to them.
Nice to get a local derby again.
Oh, it'll be great. No, I'm looking forward to it. A lot of people think, Cove, no, they've done great. Good team. So I'm looking forward to the local derbies. It'll replace the old Brock Peterhead ones, which have kind of fallen into abeyance now, where they're just not the same. Like, no.
Excellent. Like, thanks very much, and Roger, for coming on.
Well, no, but a big thank you to you guys for promoting PFC. For myself and the board, it really is, and everyone at the club, greatly appreciated. It's guys like you, it really make my job worthwhile. Just part of the support, so no, from me to you, and everyone else out there, supporters, everyone in Peterhead, just a big, big thank you for all the support that you've given us over the years. But my last plug, you've only got till 12 midnight to get your tickets on the 50-50 online. Peterhead.org, so simple.
Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Our sincere thanks go to the chairman for not only taking the time to speak with us, but for those kind and encouraging words too. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you all again very soon.